Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. If you thought it was sunny and hot today, you're going to be excited for the rest of this week. Tomorrow as well, sunny and hot, high of 92 tomorrow. Tonight, the low will only get down to 80 degrees. So the AC at home is going to be doing a lot of work this week. Fan Hotline is where we find Brian Batko. He covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. Brian, a little staycation for you, I noticed, this week, and you were celebrating with a little Busch Light, my friend. What went behind that decision, and you're just hanging out doing some yard work all week?
Yeah, I got to get ahead of it, Donnie. I mean, it's the in-between time, you know, from mini camp to training camp, and then we've got the beach annual vacation in a couple weeks. So this is really the time to make some hay. And, you know, a lot of people are responding to my tweet with, oh, here's my number one advice for you. Buy better beer. I mean, you're preaching to the choir. I'm mostly an IPA craft beer guy. But, I mean, if you're going to be outdoors and you're mowing the lawn and you're trimming hedges, I feel like that's basically what Busch Light was made for. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think it is a good fitting one, and I'm just looking through your replies now. I mean, you're going to get those people no matter what. You could have, like, the universally decided, like, best drink of all time, and people will say to drink something else. But, man, there really is. There's like eight replies. There are eight replies, and six or seven people have told you to get better beer.
Well, last time I even tweeted about beer, it was like a couple, local breweries and IPAs. So, I mean, they don't know my game, and I'm not worried about that.
Very diverse game, it sounds like, Brian.
There's a time and place for everything, much like music with alcoholic beverages, I think, Donnie. So, really all beverages. But, yeah, I mean, yard work, outside, on the beach, you know, when you're going more for comfort than style, I think that's where the light ones come out.
Brian, there was some sad Steelers news, at least like adjacent Steelers news over the weekend. The FedEx founder, Fred Smith, the father of Arthur Smith, passed away at 80 years old. Now, you did write something recently about Arthur, his, you know, journey through the NFL and sort of how he and his dad have such a strong passion for football, correct?
Yeah, I wrote that when he got hired, about a year ago now. So, I mean, it was really, you know, one of those deals where you kind of know that interesting factoid about Arthur Smith going into it. But then, obviously, once he became the Steelers offensive coordinator, I wanted to, you know, dive a little bit deeper into that. And I didn't talk to his dad for that piece, but I talked to his older brother, who actually does work for FedEx. And they were kind of like, you know, the two roads diverging, you know, one guy going into the family company business where I'm sure, you know, there's always a place for you. And the other one wanting to strike out on his own and follow his own passion for football. And his dad was a huge football guy as well. I mean, he was a minority owner of the Commanders at one time, and it was FedEx Field, and Arthur got his start there coaching, but he kind of wanted to get out of that shadow. So then he was grinding away at the college ranks for a little bit, and then on to the Titans, and you know, the rest is history with the Falcons and the Steelers.
How do you anticipate, even in just the short time that you've now seen Aaron Rodgers in a Steelers practice jersey, how do you anticipate the working relationship between Rodgers and Smith?
I've said this before. I mean, those two guys, at least personality-wise, seem pretty similar to me, and maybe that's not the case philosophically with the X's and O's, but I almost think that that's less difficult to overcome, if you know what I mean, because there's two people who, you know, they both understand scheme, even if they have maybe different preferences within it. And Arthur Smith, I think, would tell you he prides himself on being adaptable. So, you know, I think if the two guys as people get along, you know, that's almost easier or better and will allow for that better rapport and working relationship when it comes to the X's and O's side of things.
There was the controversy last season around that first matchup against Cincinnati that had that saw Russell Wilson put together one of the best single-game QB performances we've seen here in quite some time. But it was after that, a few weeks after that, where we found out that the QB and OC were not on the same page. So that's kind of where I'm interested in seeing how this goes, because the, you know, just the Bears is, well, he's not going to put up with that crap.
Yeah, I don't think that the Steelers coaching staff had a ton of, you know, trust or faith or confidence in Russ by the end. I can't tell you exactly why that broke down the way that it did, but, you know, that was just the vibe I got, that there was a lot of friction and tension from what I'd heard. And, you know, that game specifically, he did play great. I'm sure it was also game planned really well, and that's probably what the coaches would tell you. So, you know, we know that Russ's whole reputation over the course of his career from Seattle to Denver, and I guess it carried over to Pittsburgh, was the whole, like, hey, let's let Russ cook. You know, he's improvisational. He can ad lib, and, you know, you've got to have a certain, you know, conviction in you from the guys calling the shots for that to go smoothly. And I just don't think it did by the end. And with Rodgers, I mean, you know, he's even more known for being surgical and dicing up defenses from the pocket and recognizing things pre-snap and giving a little head nod or, you know, a little hand wave to his receivers to make that happen. So I think that won't really be too much of an issue. But, yeah, I mean, this is another year where Arthur Smith has to completely learn a new quarterback. But as he pointed out, you know, in Atlanta, there was a year where he had Matt Ryan, then there was a year where he had Marcus Mariota, Taylor Heineke, Desmond Ridder. So he has worked with all different types, experience, levels, mobility, that sort of thing.
Something else when it comes to Arthur Smith is that a lot of people love bringing up the point that usually his offense only favors one receiver. And as of right now, that appears to be the case again. It was that way with George Pickens last season. You got a little bit of Calvin Austin, to give him some credit, but it was mostly George Pickens, and this year it'll mostly be DK Metcalf, unless, Brian, there is more movement on them bringing in another playmaker.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the big question that continues to follow this offense from now until training camp, because while I think swapping Pickens for Metcalf is an upgrade, you know, the rest of the group behind them is still one where there are some major questions, so... as far as, you know, the diversity of the passing game, I know that is a common knock on Arthur Smith, but it's probably fair to push back on that a little bit. I mean, the 2020 Titans, Donnie, you know, A.J. Brown went over 1,000 yards, and Corey Davis was at 984, excuse me. So, I mean, when he has two guys that are capable, I don't think he's opposed to throwing the ball and having a 1A and a 1B. But, you know, right now on the Steelers roster, unless there's a real breakout from Roman Wilson or Calvin Austin, or if, you know, Omar Khan does make another move, I just don't know that there's another 1,000-yard or even 900 or 800-yard guy on the roster.
Somebody else, and this has been consistent with really whoever we have brought this up to, whether it be one of your colleagues at the PG, like Ray Fittipaldo, somebody from another outlet, our very own Jeff Hathorne. It's only been football in shorts so far, but everybody seems to be very high on Caleb Johnson to this point.
Yeah, well, I was high on the draft pick. I don't think I really saw anything that was like eye-catching to me in this short span. I think for a running back, you know, you more so get your time to shine come Latrobe. I can think back to 2022, Jalen Warren, when they would have those live inside run drills out at St. Vincent College. I mean, you saw it right away. He popped, he flashed. There was actually another undrafted free agent running back in that draft class who I think maybe relatively had a little bit more hype, and it was Mateo Durant. I mean, Warren wiped the floor with him, relatively speaking, right from the jump. He was a bowling ball. He was, you know, crashing off of defenders and keeping his contact balance. So that's where I'll really start to evaluate Caleb Johnson a little bit more. But, yeah, obviously he looks the part, and we can all see what he did at Iowa and be encouraged by the fit.
How do you expect that dynamic to work in the backfield, and how do you kind of foresee it changing as the season goes on?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one to call. I mean, I think, you know, you could certainly look at it as, okay, it's going to be similar to the Najee Harris, Jalen Warren timeshare, except, you know, Warren probably bumps up to being, you know, the de facto number one guy, but it's still an equation where you can probably ride the hot hand if you're Mike Tomlin. If you feel like it's more efficient to sort of split the work 60-40 with the vet to the rookie, or even 50-50 or closer to that, that's great. Keeps them both fresh and fresh legs. But if one guy is really rolling and Caleb Johnson's ripping off 10, 12, 15, 20-yard gains, then, yeah, you might as well stick with him. Because I also think, you know, one of the things he was known for positively at Iowa was getting stronger as the game wore on and wearing down a defense. I know Najee prided himself on that, but I think, you know, one club that was missing from his bag, as we all know, was that real game-changing ability to break a long one and, you know, take advantage of that defense being worn down. So I'm not going to anoint Caleb Johnson as being better than Najee Harris right out of the gate, but I can see why some people think there's a lot more upside there.
Is Pat Freiermuth somebody that could really benefit from the entrance of Aaron Rodgers opposed to the other quarterbacks that he's played with? It was late stage Ben, and this will be the fifth different quarterback that Freiermuth has played with.
Yeah, I think so. And the big reason for that is, you know, if Aaron Rodgers is going to be willing to sling the ball in there over the middle more than Russell Wilson was, you know, I think that's certainly helpful. And, you know, Freiermuth didn't get a ton of those opportunities a season ago. You know, one was at the end of the first half in that Chargers game, perfectly thrown ball by Fields, and he couldn't pull it in. I know he was kicking himself about that, but I only bring that up to say there are going to be more opportunities like that, I think, for a generally sure-handed Pat Freiermuth, to say the least. So we know Arthur Smith loves getting the ball to the tight ends, and, you know, right now, you know, there's not really another tight end, I think, as a pure route runner or pass catcher who has the size as well that threatens defenses. We'll see if Darnell Washington can turn into that. We'll see if Connor Hayward finds any more consistency. But, yeah, I think this is a good thing for Pat for sure.
By the way, shameless plug, feel free, Brian and anybody else listening, to check out our latest episode of Breaking Bread, brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread. I got to sit down with Pat Freiermuth for about 45 minutes. That is available in full on our 93.7 The Fan YouTube page, the same place where you may find our live stream every single day and flood those comments. Brian Batko with us here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. How important, or where does Broderick Jones rank on the Steelers offense in terms of important players? I feel like he is very, very close to the top spot, certainly not the top spot, but I feel as if he falls into like the top 3 to 5 most important player in the offense entering 2025.
Yeah, I was going to say top 3, Donnie, for a couple of reasons. You know, number one, obviously protecting the 41-year-old's blind side goes without saying that is a major task. Number two, we haven't seen it from him because he hasn't really gotten the opportunity to play his more natural position of left tackle, and you know the lane creates itself now with Dan Moore gone. However, he's coming off of a disappointing season for himself, Broderick Jones is. And number three, And here's the big one is there's not much depth behind him. You know, Calvin Anderson has been there, done that in the NFL, but, you know, he didn't look great last year in the albeit limited sample size, and kind of a journeyman for a reason. And Dylan Cook has never played. He's just been kind of a project for them. And those are your top two options to be the swing tackle. So if Jones does falter, let alone if Troy Faltanu does as well, or instead, you know, there's really no other good plan B there. So, you know, a lot invested in Broderick from a draft capital standpoint, and a lot is tied up in him right now, unless or until the Steelers do bring in another veteran to compete for that swing tackle role.
It seems like Spencer Anderson is sort of that guy, Brian, that due to his ability to play everywhere, they will just kind of throw into a spot if they need him to.
Yeah, I like Spencer Anderson a lot, and I know Mike Tomlin has compared him to Kelvin Beachum, but I don't know that he'd be able to step in there at left tackle. I haven't seen that yet. I think he did it in college. I think he played all five spots for at least a little bit at Maryland. But, you know, I do remember him saying last year that more comfortable on the right side. And, you know, obviously he's played almost entirely on the interior. So I think he's clearly the swing guard. But, you know, I wonder if tackle is a little bit out of his depth. And, you know, I think you do need another body there for sure.
Is Derek Harmon going to start day one?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, the D-line coach, Carl Dunbar, didn't try to do the whole faux, you know, you've got to earn your stripes roof type of thing. I mean, he's like, no, he's a starter. You can run with that. And, you know, I thought it was interesting. I asked Keanu Benton about that on one of the last days in the locker room because, you know, he was in those shoes a couple years ago, not as a first-round pick, but he was a rookie on the D-line with some high expectations. And he was like, no, that's a good thing, because Harmon came in mature, sort of wise beyond his years, right mentality. And the more reps you get now with those guys, and, you know, once you get into the preseason, if you do face an offensive starters a little bit at that game speed, that'll only help you come week one when it is time to hit the ground running.
Do you expect Patrick Queen in his second year in the defense to jump up from where he was for most of 2024?
Yeah, and I'll do my own shameless plug now. I wrote about Queen in the Post-Gazette Sunday edition, which is, of course, online at post-gazette.com as well. He just was really candid with me, Donnie, you know, talking to him one-on-one one of the days after practice this month, that I wasn't really sure what he was going to say, because, you know, I could even hear it in the tone of your voice there that, like, it's not like he was bad. I mean, he led the team in tackles, and, you know, he had some really big moments, like that first Ravens game and the Commanders game. It seemed like he was everywhere, sideline to sideline, being the guy that they paid him to be. Like, he was an all-pro last year in Baltimore. And then there were days where he just, you know, it seemed like he was chasing after guys and he wasn't in the right spot. And he told me, he was like, yeah, I was aggravated all offseason because it wasn't up to my standards. It wasn't a good enough year. And I give him credit for that, because I think a lot of times players would have the instinct of defending themselves and basically being like, no, didn't you see this stat and that stat and this stat and that stat? And he said he could have had six interceptions when he went back and watched the film. That might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but I know there were a couple that I remember. So, yeah, he expects more out of himself, and we'll see if we get it in 2025, but at least, you know, his head's in the right place.
The looming storyline for the Steelers heading into training camp is the T.J. Watt contract situation. Is
That's
there
one
a
of them for sure, yeah.
Is there a date that you think there's a shot it could happen, or do you think it could be like last time where it really gets taken up to that final hour seemingly before kickoff of week one?
I mean, I'd be throwing a dart to predict a date, but I mean, I think if you use right now, June 23rd, man, I'm losing track of this month. That's not good. If you use that as the start point and, you know, week one as the end point, I probably think it's going to be closer to the latter, just because that's what it was last time. And it does seem like they aren't, you know, particularly close, and there are a lot of layers to the discussion, but because I ultimately still predict that it's going to get done, I guess it wouldn't shock me whenever it does happen.
Brian Batko covers the Steelers for the Post Gazette. Brian, are you in the Shaler Hall of Fame yet?
Yet. I mean, I don't think it's a question of yet. I think it's very much a question of if I ever get inducted into that. My athletics career was nothing to write home about.
but your career in media has been outstanding, Brian. Put you in.
Sports media, sure. So that would potentially be the backdoor route for myself there.
Do you think intern Dom has a future induction?
Well, I was just going to ask if he could campaign maybe on my behalf, since he's a little more recent. He's a little bit closer to the situation in the school and the township, with me being almost 34 now. But, you know, fun fact, Donnie, you're the only person in the studio or part of this segment right now who is not a 93.7 The Fan intern, right?
That is correct. I didn't realize you were an intern here, Brian.
Oh, yeah. I think it was the summer of 2011 or 2012. I can't remember exactly. But, yeah, I was in there on the board grinding away, prod B, putting together the hot lunch. Good times.
Oh, Brian, very proud of your work. And I will very much vouch for you to be put into the Shaler Hall of Fame. If it could be the class of 2025, everybody would be honored to be part of that with you. Thank you, Brian.
Maybe we can just start with the Fan Intern Hall of Fame. Let's start there.
That's a good call. Maybe I'll pitch that to Craig. That sounds like a very good content
idea.
A
segment topic. Yes, absolutely. That's what I'm here for. That's what I generate.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, no problem. See you guys.
There we go. Brian Batko from the PG, a potential Hall of Famer from Shaler High School. I may be with one right now with Dom DiTommaso. We have a Dom debrief coming up at 4:30. Coming up next, there was something that happened over the weekend.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.